kingdom of God is here.
Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good morning, and welcome to the August 17th, 2014 edition of FOJC Radio Church. I am David Carey Cohen. For the next hour, we are going to be studying the Word of God. We apologize for our late start this morning, having a few technical difficulties, but if we wouldn't have any opposition, we would think we was in the wrong place. But we are going to take the full hour this morning. We're not going to cut the broadcast short, so we'll be going to at least 12 after 10 this morning. Now, we have a lesson this morning entitled The Valley of Vision. The Valley of Vision from the 22nd chapter of the prophet Isaiah. And as we do, we're going to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God with worship. So let's worship the Lord, and we'll be right back to go to the Lord in prayer and have our message this morning, The Valley of Vision.
I give you
Amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We have some things that we really need to take before the Lord. Dolphin Debbie has been flooded out of her apartment in New York City. Last week we talked about the judgment of God coming to New York City, and within hours after that, 13 inches of rain fell in 1 hour, the most ever recorded in New York City. And we want to pray for Dolphin Deb. That's an appropriate name for you now, isn't it, Debbie? And we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you. We've been through that flood, and we know it's no fun. So we want to remember you in prayer this morning. We have another one of our listeners' nephew is on life support. The Blue Raven is going through identity theft, and that's no fun. Very stressful. And we also want to thank Blue Raven for putting our stuff up on YouTube and all that he does. He's a real friend of the ministry. And we also want to give a shout out this morning to somebody that's in the chat room this morning and come to us via the YouTube, and that's Watchman Rob. So a shout out to you this morning, Watchman Rob, and also a shout out this morning to a new listener, Darius in Gary, Indiana. We want to pray this morning for Gary's family for restoration, and also for Donna and everyone else that's in pain due to this weather. It's really storming here in Evansville, Indiana. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you heard these needs this morning. There's some literally life and death requests here. The man on life support and all of these other needs that we've brought to you this morning, Father, we just pray that according to your love and your grace and your mercy, that you meet these needs according to your sovereign will. And Father, we just pray for this broadcast this morning, that you anoint my lips to bring forth your word and to anoint the ears to hear this morning, that they might receive everything that truly comes forth from your Holy Spirit this morning. And we will give you all the praise for everything good that happens. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 22 this morning, and our lesson is entitled The Valley of Vision. And in Isaiah chapter 22, the first verse, the burden of the valley of vision. What aileth thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? And the chapter opens with the prophet asking the people why they have gone up to the rooftops. Now, the reason that the citizens of Jerusalem were on the rooftops is that they were watching the approaching Assyrian army. Jerusalem is on a high elevation, and it is the city on the hill. And when the citizens in Jerusalem went on the rooftops, they could look down and see the Assyrian army that was approaching. And this invasion, you can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. And this is the occasion of the prophet's utterance here. Now, in verse 2, Isaiah 22 and 2, Thou art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thy slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. And the army at this point. It was just a siege, and the noise in the streets and the gaiety of the people was a proof that they were not reacting to this threat with fear and sound judgment, but they were reacting to it with proud defiance. They were up on top the rooftops watching it, and they were even, it was even a joyous party atmosphere. It was a false sense of security that was totally irrational in face of what these people were facing. Now, in verse 11, let's go down to Isaiah chapter 22, and let's read 11 through 13. It says, Ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but ye had not looked unto the maker thereof. They were doing the physical things that a person would do, the army and so forth, but they hadn't looked unto God, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, God was calling them to repentance. But what did he get? And behold, joy and gladness, slaying of oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And even when they thought that this Assyrian army might actually overtake them, they did not react with repentance, but they said, let's just have one more fling. Let's just have one more party before we die. And this saying actually came from Egypt, where it says here to let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And in the Egyptian mystery religions, when they would have their banqueting and revelings, they would bring a mummy out, and they would walk a mummy through the partiers, reminding them, hey, this is going to be you. You're going to be dead someday. Live it up. Go for it. You know, you're going to be dead, so grab all you can grab. And this was the attitude of Israel as this army was approaching. Now, in verse 14, Isaiah says, and it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord God of hosts. They were over the line. They had gone too far to get back. And that's where America is today. We are over the line. It's not, will America be judged? It's, when will America be judged? Our judgment is certain. Our judgment is just. And our judgment is going to be soon coming. Now, in the fifth verse of chapter 22, the prophet says, for it is a day of trouble, and of treading down, and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision. We are in a perplexity in the valley of vision. Now, what is a perplexity? Now, as you know, the King James is my Bible, and my Webster's 1828 is my dictionary. And in the Webster's 1828, a perplexity is defined as an intricacy, an entanglement. And the example given of how to use the word is, the jury were embarrassed by the perplexity of the case. A perplexity is something that there's no resolution to. There's no answer. We are in a perplexity in America today. There's all kinds of proposed political solutions. There are no political solutions. We are over the line, and our judgment is sure. There are people that are getting ready to get their guns and shoot it out with the National Guard. That's a dead-end street, too. You better believe that. We are in a perplexity because the only thing that we can do is repent and turn to the Lord. That's the only answer to this perplexity. Now, the people in America today are just like the Israelites that are up on the rooftops. They're watching Fox News. They're watching CNN. They're seeing all the things that are coming to pass in the world today, but they don't really believe that it will ever affect them. They have no plan. They have no clue. And when the shoe begins to fall, they're going to be just like the children of Israel. It'll be, let's shoot it up, let's snort it up, let's drink it up, let's eat it up, let's grab everything we grab before we die. And that is not going to be a very pretty picture. Now, Isaiah was watching the very same thing that they were watching. They were watching it from the rooftops, but Isaiah was watching it from the valley of vision. We must this morning look at what's going on in America today from the valley of vision, or we are not going to react to it properly. Now, part of this attitude on the part of, and I'll just talk to the so-called church this morning. Part of this "we ain't got a clue" attitude is due largely to the false teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, that, you know, we're not going to go through the tribulation. We're going to be out of here, over there, or in the air, over and out. But part of it is also due, and I want to speak to this explicitly this morning, part of it is also due to people that say they believe post-trib, but they are deceived this morning. Now, let me say it this way, and I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but I've got to say this. If you believe in the post-tribulation rapture, and you are not reacting this morning and doing the common sense things that you need to do in light of what's coming, you are deceived. You are as deceived this morning as the person that is watching Joel Osteen and sipping a latte. Now, let's go to the book of James. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 1, and let's look at verse 21 through 24. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. You've got to receive the word this morning. You've got to get this word into your heart. You got to receive it. You got to see the valley of vision. You got to decide this morning if you're going to view the world from the valley of vision or from the rooftop. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It is possible to listen to the word of God week after week, to know what is coming on the authority of the word of God and by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and not to act upon it. That is deception. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We have ministered to people that have anorexia and bulimia and other similar things, and literally when they look in the mirror, they don't see themselves as they really are. A thin person can actually see themselves as a heavy person that shouldn't eat. And this is the same type of thing. Spiritual deception is sitting under the ministry of the Word of God, but not really reacting to it and seeing yourself as you should see yourself in this situation. We are at a point in time where we cannot afford to be deceived. We must see this from the valley of vision and not from the rooftops. Now, let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 3. The book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 3. And let's read some scriptures that speak to this morning. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We have to be prudent this morning in the valley of vision and not as the simple that are up on the rooftops. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. That's how the local media characterized that 13 inches of rain in 1 hour in the Big Apple as the second flood of Noah. I don't believe in coincidence. Verse 27 says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. This is the attitude that's driven by animalistic desires. And a lot of people that believe in pre-trib rapture said it'll be impossible to do that in the Great Tribulation. Well, that's what the mark of the beast is all about. If you take the mark, the beast will feed you. And he'll let you go on just a little bit longer with your party. Now, this is the thing that we have to understand, is that now is the time. I had a fellow one time that was one of our listeners, still is. He gets our messages by CD. And he got over his anger, but he got angry with me years ago. I was teaching on the need to prepare yourself physically. And he says, I just don't believe that there's any physical preparation to do. We just need to trust God. And I told him, I said, friend, about the third day that the stores are shut down, you're going to get a real revelation from God. And he said, what's that? That you like to eat. And as I was sharing with you last week, I think that we need to prepare ourselves to live in a situation where we are going to face a collapsed American economy for a protracted period of time. And now is the time to see this as it is from the valley of vision, and not from those that are up on the rooftop that have no clue to what is going on. The Lord has given us warning through His Word. The Lord has spoken us through the prophets, dead and living, and we have no excuse if we allow ourselves to be deceived and do not take this seriously. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I can't tell anyone what they are to do, but you need to pray about it. You need to make the commitment now to pray about what the Lord would have you to do in light of what is soon approaching in our land. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we know our Lord's words when He said, no man knoweth the day or the hour. And while it is true that no man can know the day or the hour, the Bible tells us that if we are the children of God, we will know the general season the Lord's going to come in. Let's read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. The day of the Lord should not overtake the children of God as a thief, because the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the voice of the prophets, the Lord, Amos 3 and 7, the Lord will do nothing except he reveal it unto his servants, the prophets. We are not in darkness this morning that that day would overtake us like a thief unless we view this situation from the rooftops like the Israelites of long ago and adopt that attitude. I don't need a plan. I ain't got a clue. When the shoe drops, I'm going to have one more big fling and that's it. That is not how the people of God are to see this situation, to conduct themselves and carry themselves. And it's not about us saving our rotten little hides. It's about us positioning ourselves as the church of the living God to minister the gospel to a lost and dying world. Right now, the things that we say sound strange to the ears of most church-going Americans, but the day is soon coming when the things that we have been saying and are saying are going to pierce to the heart with the power of the Holy Ghost like never before into the hearts of men and women, and they will not be able to deny the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is driving forth the truth of the Word of God to them, that God's Word is true and what the prophets have spoken is coming to pass right before our very eyes. Now, before we take our first break this morning, I want to say just a little bit about the Yazids. We've all heard about the Yazids and how that President Obama ordered the rescue of these people on Sinjar Mountain. Now, I don't want to say that these people are not worthy to be rescued or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But what I do want to say is that the Yazids, for centuries, have been devil worshippers. Now, I went on the grid, and I looked at all the information about the Yazids on the grid, and over you hear people say that they are wrongly accused as devil worshippers. Well, off the grid, I've got multiple sources that do indeed the Yazids of being a people that are organized like a secret society that are run by a priesthood that are devil worshippers. One of those would be a cult theocracy, Ladies Queenborough. On their heading, it is the Yazids, quotation marks, devil worshippers. And from somebody that knows something about Satanism, Anton LaVey, he has this to say about them. He says, the Templars, and I'm reading from his book, The Satanic Rituals, he says the Templars had been exposed to the dualistic concepts of the Yazids in the East. As a result, they developed what was destined to become one of the most significant rites in Satanism. And LaVey, who obviously is one of the greatest students of Satanism, says that when the Yazids and the Knight Templars came together, that some of the greatest satanic rites were developed. Now, because of our study of Freemasonry, there is a rite in the shrine that's called the Devil's Pass, where the Freemason will urinate, and forgive me from being graphic, but this is Satanism and Freemasonry, but they will literally urinate in a jar, and they will throw the urine out in front of themselves, and they will walk through the urine. And they call this the Rite of the Devil's Pass. Now, let me just read Anton LaVey's description of where this come from. And the Shriners get this from the Templars, who got it from the Yazids. Now, briefly, this is what he says. The original Templars' rite of the fifth degree, symbolically called the guided the candidate through the Devil's Pass in the mountains, separating the east from the west, the Yazid domain. And right over there at Mount Sinjar, there is this literal pass that's called the Devil's Pass that separates the east from the west. Now listen to what it says about it. At the fork of the trail, the candidate would make an important decision, either to retain his present identity or strike out on the left-hand path to Shambhala, where he might dwell in Satan's household, having rejected the foibles and hypocrisies of the everyday world. A striking American parallel to this rite is enacted within the mosque of the ancient Arabic Order of the Nobles of the Mystic Shrine, an order reserved for 32nd degree Freemasons. The nobles have gracefully removed themselves from any implication of heresy by referring to the place beyond the Devil's Pass as the domain where they might worship at the Shrine of Islam. You know, I think out there on the top of Mount Sinjar that people could do just about anything they wanted to do, and nobody would know. Isn't that interesting? We're going to take our first break this morning, and we've got a lot more to share this morning. We will be right back on FOJC Radio Church.
The Lord would say to us, I have spoken, but ye have not listened. Tell the heathen that they will be brought low. Judgment is not pretty, but is necessary. The time has come for you to get serious with the Lord. Lo, I come with great vengeance, for I am a jealous God. Many days have passed, and I have warned my people, but yet they do not listen. The young ones are like wild asses. They run in the streets to and fro, and the old ones try to be young again, yet none seek my face. Even those who call themselves my servants do not seek my face. The shepherds have lost control of their flocks. They have no authority to lead them. The sheep have gone astray, seeking pasture in molten fields. Oh, that I had a shepherd that would grab the sheep in the crook of their staff and pull them to safety and guide them in my ways. It's time for those who call themselves apostles to walk in the way of the Master. It's time for those who are prophets to live a life worthy of the calling. It's time for those who teach not to veer from my doctrine. It's time for those who go after the lost sheep and the black sheep to get serious. It's time for those who say they follow me, to follow me. Let me speak to you, my children, for I am not a God who is afar off. I am your God who loves you from everlasting to everlasting. Write these words, my daughter, and declare them. Let them be a testimony of my love and power. All glory to my Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, I see so much in need that I just can't get right. Things that weigh me down each day and steal my sleep at night. In your word I read about a peace I wish I felt. How can you forgive me when I can't forgive myself? Was enough the blood that you shed? It was enough that you rose from the dead. It was enough to set me free. It was enough that you died for me. It hurts me so to see you struggle. struggle on, striving to be good enough till all your strength is gone. Worn out by the fear that you'll go just one step too far. Don't you know that only I could make you what you are? It was enough, the life that I gave. It was enough that I conquered the grave. It was enough to pay for your sin. It was enough. It was enough, the blood that I shed. It was enough that I rose from the dead. It was enough. Nothing more could I do. It was enough. It was enough. The blood that I shed. It was enough that I rose from the grave. It was enough. Nothing more could I do. It was enough. I died for you.
Amen. And God bless you all, and we appreciate each and every one of you that's studying with us this morning. We love and appreciate you so very much, and we're so glad that you are on board this morning. I know that the Lord will richly bless you. Now, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 22, and let's read the words of the prophet. Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 3, the first line says, "All thy rulers are fled together. The more things change, the more they stay the same." Do you know that right now, many Wall Street bankers are leaving New York City, and many are committing suicide? The more that things change, the more they stay the same. Now, look at verse 4. We have contrasted the reaction of Isaiah with the reaction of the people on the rooftops. Look at verse 4. Isaiah said, "Therefore said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly." Slap your neighbor on the back and say, "This ain't happy, church." Hey. "Therefore I said, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people." Now, make no mistake about it, Isaiah's reaction here was emotional and extreme. And it was not patriotism. Isaiah wasn't saying that, "I am just so upset because of this wonderful experiment of the founding fathers, Washington, Jefferson, Thomas Paine, Benjamin Franklin. All of their great work is down the tube, boo-hoo." He was not worshiping the founding fathers. This was not, on Isaiah's part, regret over personal loss. He was not saying, "I'm going to lose my condo and I won't be able to go through the drive-thru at Starbucks anymore." But what this was a brokenness over a people that were dead to the things of God. They were so spiritually blind that they were incapable of reacting to this situation as they should. And he was broken to the point of weeping and wailing because of the blindness of the people that claim to be the people of God. And this morning, our attitude, and I am probably one of the biggest critics of the apostate church in America today, but our attitude this morning should be one of brokenness for those people that are on the housetops. Our attitude should be one of prayer and intercession, because God is going to save a remnant of those people that will come to God when the shoe falls, and they will be saved because of people like you and I that will not compromise the Word of God. But now, before it happens, we will proclaim the Word of God, and we will speak forth that which is coming, and when it comes to pass, they will know that they have heard, thus saith the Lord. Now, let's go down to verse 17 here of Isaiah 22, and something very significant is about to take place. And in Isaiah chapter 22, verse 15, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go get thee unto this treasure, even unto Shebna, which is over the house. Now, Shebna was the steward, and Shebna was in charge of the food for the king's house. He was in charge of the storehouse of the temple, of the food for the Levites, and he was in charge of the cisterns of the emergency water and the food for the siege. Now, instead of setting back and getting a plan and preparing to endure the siege when it looked bad, it's let's eat and drink till we die, let's party down, and let's just get it out and eat it up because it's all over. Now, thus saith the Lord, go to this guy Shebna and say, what hast thou here? Go to him and say, what hast thou here? And I want to ask each and every one of you this morning, what have you there? What would you have? I want you to get a number in your mind. If the stores would shut tomorrow, how many days could you eat? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Would you have anything to drink? Would you have anything there if you were in pain or needed a basic medical treatment? What do you have there? This is what God asked Shebna. Go to him and say, what do you got there? Well, there wasn't much there because he was just passing it out and partying it up. What hast thou here? And whom hast thou here that thou hast hewed thee out of sepulchre here as he that dwelleth, as he that heweth him out of sepulchre on high, and that graveth a habitation for himself in a rock? Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. Now, Shebna's big deal was making himself a grave high on the temple mount. Now, I am going to show you that this is Luciferian. And this is something I want you to make a mental bookmark about. And we're going to revisit this later and unpack the deeper ramifications of it. But I want to show you that what Shebna was doing here was trying to fulfill something that Lucifer was not able to attain. Now, in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, and in beginning in verse 12, in Isaiah 14, the Lord begins to address Lucifer. And in verse 19, and by the way, Lucifer is not Satan or any kind of a fallen angel. He is a Nephilim. And I'm not going to go into that anymore this morning, but that's the way it is. Now, in verse 19, it says, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, that thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Lucifer wanted to be buried high on the Temple Mount. Shebna wanted to do the same thing. Shebna was wanting to fulfill the unfulfilled goal of Lucifer. In another lesson, we're going to really unpack this and show you the deep spiritual implications of what was going on there. But for now, you just make note that Lucifer and that Shebna and what he was doing and what the people on the rooftops were doing, that they were following just exactly what the Luciferians wanted them to do. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 20, and let's look at what God did. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government unto his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Now, the Lord removed Shebna and put in Eliakim, being over the treasury and over the preparations of the food, because he was acting in an irresponsible manner. And when it says here that I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, in the Bible days, just as in the early Americas, the storage, the homes were small, and the way they would store things would be drive a nail into the wall and hang an animal skin with whatever store you wanted there to store in that. And this was their storage. And Eliakim, he was going to be someone that would drive that nail, would put something on it. He would be somebody that would react to the situation from the valley of vision and not from the rooftop. This is where we are at this morning. We have to ask ourselves, what have we here? Because in light of what is coming, this is a question that you will be very unwise to ignore. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 24, and let's hear the doctrine of Christ. In Matthew chapter 24, and let's begin in verse 42, our Lord says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Who is then that wise servant? Is it Shebna or is it Eliakim? Is it you? Or are you on the rooftop? Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?" And everybody, when they read this verse, well, that's just spiritual meat. Why? Why is it spiritual meat? It's talking about, the parable is about a steward, just like Eliakim and Shebna, who are over a household. The steward was somebody that was in charge of the house, that was in charge of the food, that was in charge that everything is in place in the home. Who then is a wise and faithful servant? Is it you What have you there? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And that's what it's about this morning. It's not about saving our rotten little hides, but it's about positioning ourselves to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to teach the doctrine of Christ at an hour when it will be received into the hearts of people like never before. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. And I want to look at verses 12 and 13. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. The word of the Lord says, "Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid." Now, that word confederacy is number 7195 in the Strong's. It's the word quesher. And what it means is an unlawful alliance, confederacy, conspiracy, or treason. Now, at this time, there were Israelites that were wanting to make a treaty with Assyria, and Isaiah strongly warned them against that. And look at the next verse, verse 13, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." Our eyes this morning need to be on God, not on any conspiracy that the devil might be working. And I say that this morning as somebody, the Bible also says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, that we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So it isn't, ignorance isn't bliss in regard to what the world, what's going on in the world. And as I said, I've been an ardent student of the conspiracy for over 20 years. I don't know anyone that has more books on the conspiracy, the Luciferian conspiracy, than I do. But having said that, our fear and our dread should not be in what those people are doing, but what God is doing. We need to understand that if the devil could have taken over the world yesterday, that he would have done it. God is in control. God is sovereign. And it is going to be God that is going to set these end time events in motion. We need to sanctify the Lord God of hosts. Our answer is in the Word of God. We will find it on our knees, and the Holy Spirit will make that real and powerful to our hearts. Now, in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19, it says, "And when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Now, I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a few moments, and I'm going to talk about what I call peep ministries. Peep ministries. There's, and I don't want to mention any names to offend anybody that might like this fella, but his initials are Lindsey Williams. And Lindsey Williams claims that he regularly gets phone calls from people high up in the Illuminati that tell him what's going on with the world oil market so that he can go on radio talk shows and make DVDs. Oh, really? There are multitudes. And you know, all I got to say when I hear that is peep, peep. There are multitudes of other radio talk show, internet, shortwave, what have you, that use repeatedly these cliches that you're going to hear. X, four-star general. And of course, the four-star general never names himself, but I got a phone call this week from an ex four-star general. He told me this and that, and we need to do this, we need to do that. Peep, 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 peep. Now, if these people are talking to anybody at all, and I don't know whether they are or not, but if there is some four-star general talking to them, and they can't all be, because this must be what four-star generals do when they retire. There must be a lot of them, and they just must sit around and call these people up so they can have radio shows. You don't hear Bible, but you hear what come from some anonymous call from an ex-four-star general. Peep, 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 peep. Got a phone call this week from an ex-CIA. Peep, peep. Got a phone call this week from somebody high up in the military. Peep, 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 peep. It's time not to fear rumors or conspiracy, but to sanctify the Lord God in your heart with weeping and sackcloth, to understand that God is in control and He is going to set these end time events in motion. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you this morning for listening to FOJC Radio Church this morning, and I just want to close with Matthew chapter 16 and 18. And in Matthew chapter 16 and 18, Jesus said the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. And if you want to stick around, the best part, the best thing you can do is be a part of what God is doing. And I can't guarantee, because God is going to preserve His church, and He will have a church that is preaching the Word of God, laying hands on to heal the sick and casting out devils and speaking in tongues right up into the time He returns. Now, I can't guarantee, and I can guarantee that there are going to be people that are going to die as martyrs. There is going to be suffering. But I can also guarantee you that the Lord is going to preserve His church. And I want to be a part of that, don't you? Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for each and every one listening to the broadcast this morning. We just pray that the Holy Spirit drive Your Word into the hearts of men and women to realize the hour that we are living in. Father, set our hearts aflame like never before to position ourselves to proclaim the Word of the living God to a lost and dying world, to warn them that are on the housetops that it is time to come down into the valley of vision and seek the face of the living God. And we give You all the praise for everything good that happens. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And we will see you next week on FOJC Radio Church. God bless y'all.
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
We declare the kingdom of God is here.